It is a privilege to be here. I'm asking God to work this week to be a blessing to the teenagers, blessing to you as well, to challenge you from God's Word. And we're just going to go ahead and get camp started tonight. All right? And the message tonight is very applicable to all of us, though. And just for your information, we're going to be considering several Bible characters throughout camp this week. We're going to be talking about Josiah, a young king, and what took place in his life and some choices and decisions that he made for the Lord that set the course not only for himself, but set the course for the nation. We're going to talk about Samson. We're going to talk about Joshua. We're going to talk about King Saul. We'll even probably talk about Hezekiah some. All of these are examples for the children of God. All of these are examples for you and for me. If you will just quickly turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll get to our text here in just a moment tonight. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 11, pardon me, I've got to get my reading glasses out. I don't know if it's the sunshine in Alaska, because we have lots of it in the summertime. It doesn't get dark, but I need reading glasses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you look at the context of this chapter, you look at talking about the nation of Israel and the things that happened to them and their murmuring and so on. But we could likewise say that Old Testament characters, the things that happened in their lives are written for our examples that we might learn. And so we're going to consider all of these examples this week at camp. Some good, some not so good. But this verse says in verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We can learn a lot of things from Old Testament characters and the things that happened in their lives that are examples for you and for me that we should take heed of so that our life can be on course. Tonight, I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, and we're going to talk about Solomon tonight. 1 Kings chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13 as our text. The title of the message tonight is A Turned Heart. A Turned Heart. Let's read together. You can follow along as I read it. 1 Kings chapter 11. Verses 1 through 13. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it, for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight for your grace, Father, for your mercy. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be present here. Lord, that you'd take the words of Scripture, Father, that you'd apply them in our hearts as you see fit. And Lord, I don't know any person here tonight. I cannot see into the heart of a man, but Father, we know that you can. And Lord, I pray that each heart would be opened. Father, each heart would be soft and tender to the moving of the Spirit of God, that your will would be accomplished in every one. And Father, I pray that we would consider this truth concerning a turned away heart. Father, to guard our heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, that our hearts would be drawn close to you, that you might be lifted up and glorified in each person's life and in this place here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to point out to you as we get going here tonight that as a young man, Solomon, boy, he started out very well. He started out honoring God. He started out with a humble heart toward the Lord. Notice with me over in 1 Kings chapter 3. Notice the heart of Solomon here. In 1 Kings chapter 3. I like to hear those pages rustling. So much is done on tablets and iPads and all that stuff nowadays. I like to hear pages rustling in Bibles. First, don't take that as a... If you use a tablet, that's up to you. That's fine. I'm not condemning that at all. Let's just be clear. All right. 1 Kings chapter 3. Notice Solomon's heart here. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh. Am I in the right place here? Yeah, okay. I don't like it when this happens. I have to get on my secretary sometimes for giving me the wrong passages of Scripture. But I have to tell you that I am my own secretary. So that's a problem, right? Let's see here. There he is. We're right. Okay. Here we go. Let's get in verse 1, all right? And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built into the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself an understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." You see the difference here? So we read in chapter 11 how Solomon's heart was turned away from the Lord. But as a young man and as a young king, Solomon started out so well. His heart was a heart for God. He loved the Lord. He had an understanding and a discerning heart. But the Bible says over in chapter 11 that after Solomon had been there for a while, after he had gained some experience, the Bible says in chapter 11 and verse 4, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect toward the Lord." We're going to speak on this subject, the turned heart. What does it mean? How did it happen for Solomon? How did he get to this point from starting so well to having a heart that was turned away from God towards other gods and his heart not being perfect with the Lord? What can we learn from this here tonight so as to not be like Solomon ended? And you know, the truth of the matter is, folks, we're not usually remembered for how we start. We're not even usually remembered for the middle. We're usually remembered for how we end and how we finish. I want to show you some things concerning Solomon and a turned heart. First of all, number one, consider with me the portrait of a turned heart. Look at verses 1-3 with me. The portrait of a turned heart. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, "You shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clave to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Here's the portrait of a turned heart. See the kind of life that Solomon was living at this point. See the kind of way that he behaved. If you consider this in biblical truth, Solomon was living in adultery. It might have been legal in his culture, but it wasn't godly. And it wasn't right. But let me ask you this question. Do you think that these women that Solomon had in his life, do you think that they were the real problem? Do you think that they were to blame for all of this? For him coming to this point in his life? Here's the picture of this turned heart. He had all of these wives and all of these concubines, and he loved many strange women. Were they the problem for him coming to this place? I say not. I would suggest to you tonight that the blame lies squarely on Solomon's shoulders. He was to blame for what would happen later on because of all of this as well. What was the reason? How did he get to this point? I want you to notice verse 2. The Bible says, "Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clave to these in love. Notice here that Solomon allowed into his life the very things that God warned would turn away his heart. Where does the blame lie? It lies squarely on Solomon's shoulders. He made a choice to allow into his life the very thing that God said would turn away his heart. Now, I want you to notice a particular phrase. It's very interesting. Notice the words "turn away" in that verse. Toward the end of the verse, "For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." This word or these words or this phrase, it means to spread out or to stretch. All right? And it carries the meaning of holding on to two separate things, each one pulling in the opposite direction and pulling you apart until you're about to burst and you have to make a choice. You following me here tonight? This is what it means. God said, these will turn away your heart. And here's Solomon holding on to God, holding on to this lifestyle or these women, and they're pulling him in opposite directions until he's about to burst and he's got to make a choice. It's God versus the heathen women that he loved. But he couldn't hold on to both. And so what was Solomon's choice? The end of verse 2 says, he clave to these, meaning the heathen women, in love. That word clave is an important word as well. Because the word means to cling. It means to adhere. It means to join together. Just like a husband is supposed to leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Cleaving is a word that is important because it's a word meaning joined together, meaning that if those things were pulled asunder, both would be broken. This is the choice that Solomon made to cleave to these heathen women. The fault lies with him for allowing into his life the very thing that God said would turn away his heart. But let me say to you tonight, folks, the same thing can happen to you and to me. We may start out so well. We might even be doing pretty well right now, but our heart can be turned away from the Lord. We can be stretched. We can be pulled apart in different directions by allowing the wrong things into our lives. Let me just give you one of those things. We have a temporal life that we must live, right?
Yep.
We live here. We live today. We've got time. We have to live this life. But all too often, this temporal life becomes the all-important thing, and serving God is put in the back seat. My friend, we were put onto this earth, and if we've been born again and we've been saved, we are put here to glorify God. We're put here to invest this life into eternal things. That's why the Scriptures teach us to set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. But all too often we've got one hand on the world or this temporal life and one hand on God. Are you with me? And the temporal life in the career or the schooling or the making of money is pulling us in one direction. And serving the Lord is pulling us in the other direction. And let me say to you, so often people cleave to the temporal and not the eternal. And it's a fatal mistake. You know, how often do you hear of, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to make it to church tonight because, you know, my job, I've got to work. I understand that that sort of thing happens every now and then. And sometimes you don't have a choice in it. But a lot of times people do have choices. And they choose to make a buck rather than serving God. They choose to make some money rather than being instructed in the things of God. And listen, it's a fatal mistake. It's not long with a pattern of making those kinds of choices, being pulled in different directions, that we make a choice to cleave. What about the things of this world, or totally separating from it? The Scriptures teach us to love not the things of the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Most of the time, in our, quote, Christian culture, people know, hey, we're to be separated. But I don't want to be too separated because I don't want to stand out and I don't want people to think I'm weird. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
But the Bible says to separate from this world. How do we do that? Well, you know, the music of this world, it's alluring.
Yeah.
It's pulling on the flesh. The entertainments of this world, it's alluring. It's pulling on the flesh. There's a lot of places we could go with this. How about clothing trends? And the styles. Being up on all the latest fashions and so on. Listen, these can pull and stretch us that eventually will turn our heart away from the Lord. We can't mess around with the things of the world and not expect to be burned. We can't take hot coals into our bosom and not be burned, the Bible says. We can't have one foot in the things of the world and one foot in the church, if you will. God says separate from this world. Hey, listen, the doctrine of separation is a very real thing in the Scriptures. But what do we see in our Christian culture? A whole lot of blending. You know, we're the seeker-friendly church now. I was just telling Pastor Hammett this afternoon that very recently I heard a, quote, Baptist pastor say that he doesn't preach sermons anymore. He just shares experiences. He doesn't want to touch those hot-button issues. And he said, man, when I started sharing experiences, man, that just transformed the whole church. And all of a sudden, guess what? They're hoarding, you know, flocking in the doors. Imagine that. The Bible says to separate from this world. But the point is, they're pulling in different directions. And sometimes people are holding on. And they're holding on. And they're holding on for all they can. But you can't hold on forever. These can pull and stretch our heart away from the Lord. This is why Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 says you cannot serve two masters. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 24, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters. Who does that include? Everybody. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus was very specific there, wasn't he? No man can serve two masters. You're going to hold to the one and despise the other. Solomon was in this position here. He loved these women. And his heart was turned away. It was stretched. It was pulled until he had to make a choice. And he clave to these in love. So many Christians today, you know, they're not doing wrong per se. They're not necessarily filling their entire life up with the world. But so many are not fully committed to the Lord either. They're trying to hold on to both. Keeping one foot in the world and one foot in the church. But eventually we have to choose. And listen, Solomon started out so well. But he was stretched apart until he made a choice to cleave to these heathen wives and not to the Lord. Go back to our text with me. And I want you to consider number two, the process of a turned heart. 1 Kings chapter 11. Look at verses 4 through 6. The process of a turned heart. Verse 4 says, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Here's the process of a turned heart. How did this happen to Solomon? Again, were the women the problem? No, the blame was with him. As we said, he clearly made the choice. But how did he get to that point? I want you to notice a very particular phrase in verse 4 where the Bible says his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. The word perfect here means to be full with or full of. So in other words, his heart was not full of God anymore. He became enamored with other things because he left room in his heart. Solomon's heart wasn't full of God like David, his father's heart was. I want you to note a distinction between David and Solomon. Go with me to Psalm 51. Clearly, David was not a perfect man. Clearly, David sinned. Psalm 51 is a penitential psalm of David after his sin with Bathsheba. All right? So David, you know the story. He sinned. He didn't want to admit it, but Nathan the prophet came and told him this story. David got all mad at this guy who took the sheep, and he said, "That guy ought to die." And Nathan said, "Thou art the man." And when it smacked David across the face, and he understood his guilt and his sin, notice his heart. Psalm 51. In verse 4, the Bible says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Get down to verse 7. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." What's the heart of David here? Oh, it was still full of God when he recognized his sin. He said, "Lord, against you have I sinned, and I'm sorry. Make me clean." The Bible says, we'll get to this in just a little bit, that God visited Solomon twice concerning this thing. But Solomon didn't do what David, his father, did in repenting of his sin. Go to Psalm 63. Again, notice the heart of David here. In Psalm 63, verse 1, "Hear my voice, O God, and my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who wet their toes." Oh, I'm in 64. I'm sorry. 63 is what I'm looking for. Go with me there. Psalm 63. "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry, thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as have I seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." You see the difference in the heart of David and the heart of Solomon? David said, "God, I want to be in your presence. God, I want to be full with you. Bring me close to you and protect me. And God, I want more of you. I'm thirsting after you." Solomon, his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. His heart was not full of or full with God anymore. What does Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 say? That we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. This is the first and great commandment. Listen, a love for God more than anything else in this life will keep us from much wrong. Let me say it again. A love for God more than anything else in this world will keep us from much wrong in our life. Stay enamored with God, people. We stray when we lose sight of that and we're enamored with other things. When the world paints the pretty picture and puts all the glitz and the glam on its things and we're like, oh. It's just a facade, isn't it? And we become enamored and we're lured away. But when our heart is full with God and we long to be with the Lord and love the Lord more and more, it's a great protection against much wrong in our life. Solomon's heart was not full of the Lord. How do we stay full? Hey, we better stay in His Word. Job said in Job 23 and verse 12, that the statutes of the Lord were more important to him than his necessary food. He loved the law of the Lord more than he loved his necessary food. That's how we stay full of God. That's the process of a turned heart. Go back with me to our text in 1 Kings chapter 11 and consider with me, thirdly, the petrifying of a turned heart. The petrifying of a turned heart. In verses 9 and 10. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. The Bible says here that twice the Lord approached Solomon concerning this very thing. And all I can think of when I read that is what a merciful and a gracious God. He had already warned him. Now Solomon's going down this path and God visits him apparently at some time and says, Solomon, you got to get this right. You need to go a different direction. But he ignored the voice of the Lord. Later on, he's still going down the road farther and farther. And God comes to him again and says, Solomon, you got to turn around. But he didn't do that which the Lord commanded him to do. What a merciful God. But Solomon's heart was hardened to the point that even though... Listen, here it is. Think on this. Wrap your mind around this. That even though Solomon was the wisest man who had ever lived, he still chose foolishly in not hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. When our hearts are being turned away from the Lord, we stop listening to the Holy Spirit of God trying to bring correction into our lives. We're being pulled apart by something, the world, maybe it's something in our life, who knows what it is. But the Spirit of God comes around to bring correction into our life. And we hear that still small voice. Son, you need to get this out of your life. This is ruining you. And we feel the conviction of the Spirit of God. And we might say, okay, you know what? That's right. That's true. But I'll deal with this next time. And we go back to whatever it is. And later on, maybe we hear some good preaching and the Spirit of God comes again. And the Spirit of God starts to bring that conviction into our life. And we're feeling somewhat humbled. And you know, we feel that twinge of guilt and the Holy Spirit. And you know what? That's right. But I'll deal with that maybe another time. And you feel it? See the pulling? Until we make a choice to stop listening to the Spirit of God bringing conviction in our life anymore. This is what Solomon did. Maybe there are things of the world and sin that are pulling us in another direction. And we stop listening to the Holy Spirit and His voice. But listen, understand this, that God will not let us stay the same. God will not let us be in the same condition. He will force us to have to make a choice. You remember Pharaoh in Exodus? Go with me over there. I want you to note something very interesting here. Exodus chapter 8. We could read through this whole passage and we won't take the time to do that. But here are the plagues that God is sending on Egypt and on Pharaoh for not letting the people of Israel go. And there's a series of them. And note with me in chapter 8 in verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. All right. So Pharaoh hardens his heart. Go to verse 19 of this chapter. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Skip down to verse 32. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Go to chapter 9. And I want you to look in verse 34. All right, so the plagues continue on in verse 34. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Now look at chapter 10 in verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. Do you notice a difference in the wording from the first ones that we read to this one here? Before, the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and the Lord kept bringing these plagues, and Pharaoh kept hardening his heart. But you get to chapter 10 and verse 1, and the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants. Look at verse 20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. How does the Lord harden Pharaoh's heart? Have you ever thought about that? Well, the truth of the matter is, every time we have an opportunity and we reject the voice of the Lord, every time we've got a choice, whether it's for God or against God. God brings it up and we have a choice to make, to choose to follow the Lord or reject the Lord. But each time that we reject the Lord, we are hardening our hearts. And listen, God kept coming back to Pharaoh over and over and over again. He was forcing him to have to make a choice. Are you with me here? This is the same for you and for me. God won't let us stay the same. God didn't let Solomon continue on without coming to him and saying, you got to change course. But Solomon hardened his heart and stopped listening to the voice of God. In other words, you could say that God hardened his heart. How? Because God wouldn't let him stay the same. He forced him to have to make a choice. It's the same for you and for me. When our hearts are being turned away from the Lord, we stop listening to the Spirit of God trying to bring correction. But what does that turn into? I want you to consider lastly with me the product of a turned heart. Go back to our text there. The product of a turned heart. Chapter 11. And look at verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 11. Verse 7, then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Notice the word then. When Solomon's heart was turned, then. And my friend, let me say to you tonight that there's always a then. There's always a then. Notice that he's not just tolerating idolatry anymore at this point, but he's actually participating in the idolatry. You see this? Here he married these heathen wives who were idolatrous and so on, and he tolerated that in his life. But the Bible says, then Solomon, he built an altar, or he built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for the abomination of Molech. And likewise did he with all the strange wives. He's not just tolerating it anymore. He's actually participating in it. Solomon. Understand this. Solomon was the one who built the house of the Lord. Solomon was the one that God pinpointed to build him a house, a place of worship where the power of God would dwell and the presence of God would be at. And he made it lavish unto the Lord. But now he's building high places right in front of the house of God to false gods. Wow! How he's blaspheming God with full-blown idol worship. But listen, friend. Sin in our life, always goes farther than we think. It always keeps us longer than we want to stay. And it always costs us more than we're willing to pay. When our hearts are turned away from the Lord, we move from tolerating things to participating in them. But let me make it practical. Because if we're not going to be practical, why are we here, right? Have you ever noticed in your life when things don't bother you like they used to? How about letting the standard down and, quote, allowing things into our lives that maybe we once did not? Like certain kinds of movies that we used to consider wrong, but now we're making a few exceptions. How about music that we used to consider wrong? You know, we don't listen to CCM, contemporary Christian music. There's nothing Christian about it. But man, it has that beat to it. And you know, the words are good. Maybe a little country music if we're riding down the road, you know, but not the rock music. That stuff's still bad. I don't know. In those instances, I don't know what's going on. These are just illustrations, examples that came to my mind. In those instances, the heart is being turned away from the Lord rather than becoming more and more and more in love with the Lord. What's the product of a turned heart? Not only is he participating in that which is dishonoring to the Lord, but note this in verse 11 and verse 12. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Who was affected by his turned heart? Ultimately, his whole family and the entire kingdom. And what a fool Rehoboam turned out to be. Who was affected by his turned heart? This is the product of a turned heart. It always costs more than what we think. And there's always a then when our heart is turned away from the Lord. And it's never a good then. We can't hold on to the things of this world. We can't hold on to sin in our life and hold on to God at the same time. We can't hold on because they're pulling in different directions and we're holding on for all we can, but it's going to tear us apart until we've got to make a choice. And our heart is turned away from the Lord. Listen, it's all or nothing with the Lord. I noticed the theme is taking up the torch. Teenagers, young people, you need to make some choices in your life right now. Some choices in your life that are going to set the course. You know what? You grow up in a Christian home. You grow up in a good family. You grow up in a great church. It's all going really well. And you're starting off really well. But you need to cement some things and make some choices in your life. Listen, to be full with God. To be full with God. So your heart is perfect with the Lord. Letting no room for anything else. Choose to cleave unto the Lord. And not the things. Because there's always consequences. We're going to talk about Josiah tomorrow, who was a young boy, a young king, who made some really good choices and did that which was right in the sight of the Lord as David his father. But here's the thing, David really wasn't his father. His father was a wicked man. He made a choice. He made a choice to follow a different example, one that was godly, and God blessed his life. We're going to talk about all of Josiah and the consequences and the blessings that came out of it. We're going to talk about Samson who also made some choices, who didn't listen to the counsel of his parents. And we're going to see what happened in his life. We're going to talk about Hezekiah, who made some good choices, who decided he was going to get rid of some things that were going on in the kingdom, and he was going to put things in their right place to honor God. Hey, sometimes we need to get rid of some things in our lives that will put us in a position where we can be full with God again. We're going to talk about all of these. Some really good examples and some not so good examples. In the beginning, Solomon started out well, but he ended in a bad place because he let his heart get turned away from God. Let's not let our hearts be turned like Solomon's. Let's keep our hearts full of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these examples that are written for our learning, for our admonition. And Lord, may we take heed so that we can stand, so that we can glorify God. In Jesus' name, amen.